Morning to you, Buzz. How was your weekend?
Yeah, very good, thanks. Lodge, you sounded very technical then.
Yes.
With your, you should make a comeback.
Oh, yeah. They wanted me gone.
As a player or a coach?
Certainly not
coach,
as a
coach. But, Lodge, you had the coach against Thurston, Cronk. Who else? Smith.
Slater.
Slater.
That's the thing. Yeah. Just remember, Loz coached a team that won against that champion team that had, who were your halves again, Loz? Trent Hodkinson and Josh Reynolds.
Joshie Reynolds, yeah.
Unbelievable.
And you got the money.
We got the cash, but unfortunately we couldn't do it over a long period of time. But with this New South Wales team, we're under the pump, given that we lost game one. Buzz, a couple of changes being made. And interested to read your column today about the reasoning behind Cody Walker's selection over Luke Keary, and you've pointed out the fact that Keary's got a better record than Cody Walker at ANZ Stadium.
Look, when Freddie was, explaining to the media why he made the change and brought Cody Walker in, and look, Cody probably deserves a start, and because he's had such a great year. But to say it's because it's on his home ground at ANZ and he's played well there all year, you look at the fact, I don't know of a player who has a better record at ANZ Stadium than Luke Keary. He's won grand finals there, two at the Roosters, the grand final at South in 2014, and he's won a Clive Churchill medal there. So there is no player who excels on that ground more than Luke Keary. And, the answer that Freddie gave us was flawed. But look, I tend to agree with you, Loz, that our strongest combination would be Jack Whiten at 5'8". That's the position he played for the Raiders all year. That's the position from which he won the Dalian medal. What I also like about Whiten being at 5'8", is it allows us to bring Stephen Crichton into the side from the Panthers. And I think as much as he's inexperienced, he's just an X-factor footballer, a freakish talent, and I just think the Blues might have had more to offer with that combination.
Buzz, is this not an example of how much pull Andrew Johns has? Even though he's not involved in this New South Wales team, he comes out and makes a comment straight away about the number six and who he thinks should be playing there, and then bang, it happens.
Yeah, the thing is, Clarky, Joey changed his mind later that day and said he'd be off and clear it.
True.
Yeah, so, look, Joey's obviously got, if you don't listen to Andrew Johns, you're mad. But I think Greg Alexander has a lot more import, as the chief advisor to Freddie. And look, I don't know if it was Joey that, was responsible for this change. But I do feel for Luke Keary. I thought he was the better halfback in the half in Adelaide. And you know what? At the Roosters next year, he's going to wear number seven without Cole Flanagan? Luke Keary. And he didn't own the football side in Adelaide. He went into the game and said to Nathan Cleary, this is your team. We can't have two dominating halves. So I feel sorry, but you know what? We've got to get behind the boys. As you said, Laurie, we've got to be better in the middle and we've got to get the momentum there. And look, I've got a feeling they're a really angry New South Wales side now. I've got a feeling that they're so disappointed with that performance in Adelaide. It was nowhere near their best football. And I think the Blues can get the money at ANZ.
Yeah, I think you're right, Buzz. I think they'd be shattered with their performance and disappointed because when they review the tape, they would have seen so many opportunities and they would have seen they would have spoken about how they wanted to go about it in the second half and they didn't achieve it. They didn't do it. And, and then to only get beaten by a few points, I know it was 8 points in the end, but I think New South Wales, with no possession, no field position in that second half, would be dirty the way they played. And I expect them to come out and be a lot better in game two than what they were in game one. But they'll have to do it without their captain, Boyd Cordner. It's quite sad in a way, isn't it, Buzz, that we're talking about the future of Boyd and the possibility of him not playing again?
Well, he's too tough for his own good, isn't he? It's right. No, I heard you talk to one of your listeners earlier that he'd had a long break last off-season. I was in the UK with the team and just watched him training on his own. And that wasn't necessarily about his head injuries. It was more about, the punishment his entire body had taken over a long period of time. And he did miss the World Club Challenge. Look, he's got an upcoming meeting with Trent Robinson. And I think you'll find of all the NRL coaches, it's been pretty well documented. Trent Robinson is probably the most protective coach of all and probably treats head injuries more seriously than anyone else. So, look, to jump the gun and say he's going to be out for a year, I'm not sure that's going to be the case. I think they'll sit down. I think he'll get his neurology tests done and we'll find out if there is any damage. It'll be really, really thorough. And, look, I'm thinking, well, what the Roosters have told me is they're going to turn him away and say, look, come back in February. And even if you miss the first four or five rounds of the competition, it doesn't worry us. But just go away and get a complete break, turn your mobile off, go and have a nice time with your family and go home to Taree or wherever he goes and we'll weigh it up in February. It's a worrying time for him, though, and, he's got a big cheer squad, though. Hope he can get through it.
How tough is the salary cap pressure getting at Souths, Buzz, and who's likely to be the biggest loser in the whole scenario there?
Well, it's a story that is going to come up in the next couple of weeks, I think, after Origin, when they get down to some serious negotiations. And this isn't a problem for Wayne Bennett because he's going at the end of next year, but it's a problem for their new coach, Jason Demetria. Now, you go through their roster, and I'll give you some players who are on really, really big money. Damien Cook, Adam Reynolds, Cameron Murray, Cody Walker. Jai Arrow has just joined the club on $700,000 a year. You could probably add Campbell Graham and Tom Burgess to that list of 500,000-plus players. And in the next week or two, they will announce a new three-year deal for Latrell Mitchell worth about $800,000-$850,000 a season. Now, that leaves a guy called Dane Gagai, who was, in my opinion, the best player on the field in Adelaide. He is off contract. He can talk to whoever he wants from now, from last weekend. And I think they're going to face a battle to keep him because there's a lot of clubs lining up with big cash to try and sign him. And as I've just explained, the Rabbitohs have got to balance that roster. They can't have eight players on huge money and then development. Do you know what I mean? And so it's going to be an interesting period for the Rabbitohs to sort that out.
Buzz, I wanted to get your take, obviously a lot of footy experience, on this year's Origin and how it's felt for you. Because, again, I'm just talking from me as a fan. It just doesn't feel like Origin time. I don't feel like the build-up is anywhere near as exciting as I have in the past. And I don't know, maybe that's, I'm keen to know what our listeners think as well. Maybe that's just me, but from all of your time in the game, does it feel the same to you or different?
Yeah, I don't know if it's the media build-up or Clarkie or the fact the teams are in a bubble and there's not the access to the players. Laurie, you know as well as I do, when you used to take them into camp up in Coffs Harbour, the media were invited to stay with the team for 10 days leading up to the game and you bump into players in the cafes and the restaurants and the media was just so, so big and there'd be page after page after page of Origin. And look, what surprised me is that now the races are over, the big races, there is no other sport on. I know you've got your Shield cricket going on and the WBBL and sports like that, but there is clear air here for this Origin series. And look, maybe the fact that it was in Adelaide, Clarkie, maybe the fact that it was US Election Day. I would really like to, but the TV ratings were appalling. I would really like to wait, give Sydney a go, give Brisbane a go, and hopefully we'll have a live game in Brisbane. And I think we've got to make a decision then. But if you're a betting man, you'd certainly be suggesting that the game will go back to mid-year next year, as much as it's a pain in the backside for fans of the 16 NRL clubs, how it interferes with the competition for such a long period of time.
Yeah, and I think, Buzz, also you have to take into consideration, a lot of people were expecting New South Wales just to win, and they were thinking that Queensland, weren't going to be competitive this year, so they mightn't have tuned in because of that. But now I'm expecting the ratings to go north.
I think it was the best result we could, as much as we love the Blues, it was the best result we could possibly have, Queensland winning that opening game of the series. Because I think if New South Wales had won, and even though we were a chance of wrapping the trophy, winning the trophy in Sydney, I think the interest would have snuck away. And so, you know, the Maroons have showed they are competitive, and despite what your man Bulldog Richie says, I don't think they are the worst team in 40 years.
I tell you what, I'm going to hammer him on Wednesday when he comes in.
Oh, are you? Are you? Sure.
What's that?
I tried to hammer him yesterday, and he's got the buttons. He's powerful on Sunday. Do you know what I mean?
He is very powerful. Talking about powerful, I can't believe Peter Volandis is not signed up for the next 10 years for rugby league.
He's going to cricket.
It's a really interesting story because his contract, he can leave racing now. There's an option his way in racing New South Wales. But, look, he's very well paid there as a chief executive. And, look, I'm sure, you know, there's no way racing will allow him to leave. But his tenure is up in February, his 3 years at the NRL. Now, as an NRL chairman or as an NRL commissioner, you get $50,000 a year. As a chairman, you get $150,000 a year. For what Peter Volandis has done for rugby league, that $150,000 isn't sufficient money as far as I'm concerned. And I tend to think we need to look at our constitution for when people like Peter Volandis come along in the game, we have to ensure they are properly paid and, you know, for their management skill.
Agree. Yeah.
And, mate, I've been around, seriously, and I don't want to sound too old, since Kevin Humphries, John Quayle, David Gallup, David Moffat, Ken Arthurs, and all of them. Mate, Peter Volandis is the best sporting administrator, not just in rugby league, but in any code that I've ever come across. And the game needs to sit down with him, and he's the boss. So I don't know who sits down with him. I guess
the mirror.
Yeah, the mirror. I guess someone like Peter Beattie's got to take the ball up here and have a discussion at commission level. But I think they need to change the constitution. And look, the guy's a little bit burnt. He didn't go to Adelaide. He stayed at home and with his family and his kids and watched the game on TV. And I know he took a couple of days off last week after the racing carnival. And to ask a man to work as hard as he has, you know, you've got to look after him. And I'm not saying he deserves Clarkey money, but...
He deserves close to my money, I reckon.
Yeah, close. Mate, that'd break the NRL.
He can pick a number, I reckon, Peter Volandis.
Yeah.
And whatever number that is, he has earned it tenfold. Yeah. In both racing and rugby league.
Yes. You like changing the subject from your salary, don't you?
Well, I think my salary is irrelevant. Let's talk about yours. If you can do a job for as long as you have, you must be getting paid a truckload. I know that.
Mate, I'm an old desperate trying to stay relevant.
Mate, the old part, the desperate part, maybe, but the loaded part, certainly.
Yeah, yeah. How's everything else, Clarky? You well, mate?
Life's good, mate. Can't complain. Another Monday with my mates in radio.
Yeah, the best thing I've done this year is follow you on Instagram and become part of your life.
Welcome,
please. That sounded like an episode of Days of Our Lives then, Buzz.
Well, Laurie, I'm being nice because I haven't bought him lunch yet.
Is that coming? I'm coming too, by the way.
Of course.
Can we please get Origin out of the way and then we'll think about that?
All right, we'll get Origin out of the way. Give us a score on Wednesday night.
I'm sticking with the Blues by 8, so what'll it be? It'll be something like 24-16, mate.
Like it.
Yeah. No, I think it'll be more points in this game, but I also think New South Wales will be a lot better prepared. I expect them to come out breathing fire, given what happened in that second half. In the first half the other night, Buzz, I thought New South Wales were going to run away with it, dare I say it, after 40 minutes.
Yeah, I knew it was going to be awful that we were going to win by 30.
Well, I was sitting there at home, but I was watching it with my daughter, and she goes to me, "What do you reckon, Dad?" And I said, "Oh, I think we'll win by about 20 here." And then
the other thing I'm really looking forward to is seeing James Tedesco as our captain. And I thought he was really, really busy, and he made all those meters down in Adelaide, but I think he's going to try it. Well, I hope he doesn't overdo it and he'll just play his natural game. But Tedesco as a leader is going to be really, really interesting.
Yeah, he's our best player. I thought he was probably our best player on Wednesday night, busy around the ruck. And I just expect him and Cook and Cody Walker, they're going to play through the middle a lot more in this game and they'll really worry and trouble the Queensland middles. But we'll see how it pans out. And it should be good weather. So if it's good weather, we should see a bit of a ball movement. But I think New South Wales, in trying to finesse their way around Queensland, just play through the middle, blast them open there first, and then they'll create space on the edges. So we'll see how they go, Buzz.
I hope you're right, Lonza.
So do I, champion. I look forward to catching up next week.
Good on you, guys.
Thanks, Buzz.